three. It's Tim Slagle, Brian Miller. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump's inauguration in just a bit. We're also going to be talking about the closure of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, the once known as the greatest show on earth.
One circus begins, another circus ends.
But right now, Brian, when we were talking before the show, you told me you had not seen this. Well, I didn't see it either because it was on Saturday Night Live. And I'm at that point in my life where I just don't find Saturday Night Live funny anymore. And I think it's because my college years are so far away now.
It's a young people's show.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I just, you know, because everyone, I've noticed everyone thinks that Saturday Night Live when they were in college was the funniest show ever, and there's never been a Saturday Night Live. And what I've realized as I've aged, it's only funny because you're smoking pot.
And I don't know. My favorite Saturday Night Live was when I was in junior high school. I think it's for most people, it's younger than that.
Is that about the time you discovered pot?
No. That was a little while later.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of the Dennis Miller, Phil Hartman, that whole era, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
And that was when you were a junior in high school?
No, around junior high school, actually, probably. Yeah, I don't think I really watched it. In high school, it was like the Will Ferrell thing, which I was actually not a big Will Ferrell guy.
Was it before you were in high school you found that better? Probably
a little before I went to high school, or maybe right at the beginning of high school. But
and you were enjoying it then, or you just found
it
later?
When I was a kid, I watched it every Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
I was dedicated. I haven't watched it for years. I've come to realize I am just, boy, did I realize this weekend when I was working on a writing packet where I had to write sketches. I'm not a sketch guy. I don't really enjoy sketch comedy. It's not my thing.
Huh.
I like stand up and I like movies and I like novels. I just don't, it's just not my format. You know, I'm not that into improv, not that into sketch.
Huh. Interesting. The bit I'm talking about is Alec Baldwin does his Donald Trump, and somebody posted it on my wall. That's someone who doesn't understand my political slant, so he posts stuff all the time, and he posts this Alec Baldwin clip. So I watched about a minute of it, and I was kind of hoping that Saturday Night Live would rise above the Golden Showers theme. And sadly, I was disappointed.
Rise above what? There's no way that's not the number one topic of comedy. We haven't had anything that funny since Bill Clinton's cigar.
Oh, no. I agree. However, with Facebook now, it's pretty much every urine metaphor had been drained.
You know, that I will agree with you. It's funny. I said to my wife, I said, this has been the greatest. We haven't had a really funny scandal. I mean, I'm not even saying, I don't know that it did happen. Actually, I don't think the Golden Showers part probably happened. But regardless, we haven't had a funny sort of news story thing to chew like on this for a while. Neither Obama nor Bush had like really funny personal scandals.
That's actually the kind of difference. Somebody pointed out that that Obama was a cocaine user and had a homosexual love affair, and that rumor, nobody ever made jokes about that rumor.
Well,
that
Obama rumor just, admits to doing cocaine,
right?
So does George. But, well, George but, Bush, but, George but Bush I mean, lied but about I mean, it poorly
in the White House.
No, I don't believe that.
See what I mean? And you don't believe the Golden Showers thing either. But the difference is one became part of pop culture and the other one everyone just dismissed. And I think
I would argue the birther thing is every bit as illegitimate as the Golden Showers thing. And you never stopped hearing about that.
Yeah, but did Saturday Night Live make jokes about it?
I'm sure they did. I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know.
They did. But it was the jokes were at the expense of the people that perpetuating the birther scandal. it wasn't actually, the jokes actually weren't Obama trying to hide his birth certificate.
Surely not the debate sketches. We're not having right now is SNL democratically biased? Of course it's a lefty show.
Okay.
It always has been.
Yeah. But as far as more than that, as far as pop culture as well, is that a scandal with no legs about Donald Trump just takes off, whereas a scandal about Obama, a ridiculous scandal about Obama is just, oh, are you serious?
Well, one seriously is a racist accusation that a black guy must not have been born here, and another is a funny story about a rich...
It has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with racism.
You don't think people... How does the birth certificate not have to do with racism? When the fact if he was a white guy, you think they would have said he wasn't born here?
It has to do with the fact that his book agent was pitching him as Kenyan born when they were selling his books. That's where it originated.
You think it? No, well, that's a fundamental difference we'll never agree on. Birth movement is founded in racism. And moreover, Trump is a super rich guy who has admitted to, at best, dubious sexual behavior, if not sexual assault. And this is a cartoonish story about him doing something cartoonishly sexual. I think the mistake is that, and some people are making it, thinking that people who are making golden shower jokes is the same as saying, I believe that happened. That's a real thing. It's just really funny. And Trump is an awful person, and his awful, hateful negativity bleeds over into every corner of society, and it makes everyone else want to be awful. And this was a great chance to be awful back to an awful person.
I will admit it was a great opportunity to make jokes.
But they were done in, I swear to God, you're right, though, 12 hours. I was like, we're all done. Yeah. We've made every P joke.
Exactly. It was maybe 24. A day later, there were one or two would still leak out that amused me. But after a day, it was like, no more. And, so for 5 days later, I couldn't even finish it. Like I said, it was about a minute in. It had nothing to do with what I thought about Donald Trump or not. It was just, oh, please, more of this.
Yeah, I've said for a while, I said, the Daily Show... Well, The Daily Show started it and Twitter finished it. It's really hard to be – you can't be a weekly topical show very easily. I mean, if you do, you have to do a real deep dive like John Oliver or, Samantha Bee's people will take like a pretty – they'll take an angle and explore it in like a really longer form way because Twitter and The Daily Show are getting first crack at all of this stuff.
Right.
Every time. So, yeah, right. Especially anything involving wordplay, anybody who thought they had a urine pun – of any kind that hadn't been used a million times by then.
It's my fervent hope that that if they spent any more than 10 minutes writing that skit, that they gave NBC a refund.
It's funny. I the next night I did. I was working on a tape and it didn't go that well. You're making a tape and sometimes like the second joke doesn't hit like you want it to. And so you're just like, well, I'm not going to use this tape. Like there's no reason to use this tape. So I was like immediately abandoned ship. And so I was like, let's talk about that. So I just kind of riffed on the Donald Trump P thing for a few minutes and it got a great reaction and people were really into it. And some new comics said to me like, oh man, that's great, man. That's like a whole two or three new minutes. And I was like, that's not going to work in 2 days. Like, it was fun to do and everything, but, like, we're done.
Even if it does work, it's nothing that you're proud of. It's not your new closer.
I went back and listened to the tape, and it was more – it did range a little more into, like, human behavior as opposed to just that. But, like, yeah, it's like, do I really – was it such a great premise that I'm like, yeah, it's worth talking about getting peed on to get into that. Yeah, that was a number one time thing, you could say.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And so I was actually hoping, that Saturday Night Live would ignore it. And
from the description I saw online, it sounds like they focused on it pretty heavily.
Yeah.
My thought was you can't ignore it, and I would totally understand if they had a mediocre one joke reference to it. But just you're right.
And actually went meta with it. if they actually mm-hmm. in Weekend Update, they came up with, you know, with had the writers, you know, put their heads together, come up with one killer line. Just one killer line,
yep.
and drop it into Weekend Update, and then just let the crowd go nuts and say that was mandated by the, you know, such and such, you know, it's that is our acknowledgement.
And, right. Speaking of mandates, we've got a mandate to get out of the segment.
Sticky nickels in my Vans cup holder. Sticky nickels make me think of that girl. Sticky nickels in the car I sold her. Stuck to the floor by the syrup from the soda.
And on the second segment of Rule of Three, we're going to be talking about the big story of the week. Everything's pivoting around this, with the Trump inauguration. That's the fulcrum of the news, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. It's whether it's celebrities not attending or, again, segment one.
Yeah.
Which are going to try to avoid like a drug test.
Now, see, that was pretty good. That's a pretty good B joke.
It's Slagle.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that one. Yeah, okay. I hadn't heard of drug tests, but that's good. Okay. There's still some new ones to shake out a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a catching disease.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I kind of miss the day when without Twitter, where we could have deluded ourselves into thinking only we were clever enough to come up with all these pee jokes.
Yeah, that's actually true. You know who misses it more? Top 40 radio DJs.
Yeah. Those guys said like the same five things for 40 years.
Yeah.
So the inauguration, they got the I don't know, what do you think, what it's going to be different? I got a prediction. Well, let me tell you my prediction real quick before we start. Here's my prediction.
Okay.
Pre-inauguration, if you would like to form some sort of bet around it, it is a very long term, but I would be willing to think about your terms. I don't believe that Donald Trump will make it through 4 years of the presidency.
No, I've been saying that forever.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I don't know if he quits. I don't know if he dies. I don't know if he's impeached. And I don't think but I say dies, by the way, I don't mean like he gets assassinated or anything.
No. There are too many variables.
Right, but he's an unhealthy older man who's never really worked at a real – I mean, I know he probably works all the time, but like his version of work might be pretty different than what this turned
out
to
be. Are you sure he's unhealthy?
He looks really unhealthy.
My guess is he does a lot of push-ups.
He looks he's fat, and he eats fast food all the time. Unless you don't think he really eats the fast food. All the reports say that he really does binge on fast food.
Well, I don't know that fast food is as unhealthy if you watch what you eat. I think you can actually eat healthier than you would imagine with fast food.
Boy, I don't know if we've ever disagreed on anything quite so much. I don't think you can eat KFC. I think you might as well just get a gun with one bullet if you're going to go to KFC.
Did I say KFC? I said fast food.
That's his favorite one, you know. He loves KFC.
Is it? Okay. Well.
Oh, yeah. He's a big KFC guy.
Okay.
Well, you know, when he's not eating the fake taco salad from his own restaurant that they don't serve.
Again, it was a salad. So.
Yeah,
and you don't know that he ate the bowl. So.
That's his version of I didn't inhale. I didn't eat the shell.
But regardless, yes, he is 70, and the actuarial tables tend to go down after 70. So he's got that against him. Also, he's OCD. He seems very OCD. I could see him getting bored after a year or two.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I really truly don't think when he started this he had any intention of being president, and then he found out what it entailed, and he's like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's someone in his position. If there's a job you don't like, you just find someone else to do it.
Right, I definitely do think for the most part that is what he will do, but it'll be interesting to see if there's some element of being president that's kind of inescapably a big pain in the butt that you have to do, Right. Or that by not doing it, you anger or slash disappoint slash alienate so many people that they find a way to get rid of you.
Right. And there's also the impeachment thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's his life has been a minefield of potential, you know, violations. And I don't see his presidency being any differently. So, yeah, it's I would agree. I've been saying that for a while, is that we're probably going to see President Pence by 2020.
Yeah, that's who I think will be on the – put it this way. At the very least, I think that's who will be on the ticket in 2020.
President Pence sounds – it sounds very Dr. Strangelovian.
It does. Well, it's got that alliteration to it. And it's kind of British, you know. You think of British, you think of British money.
Yeah, maybe more British. Maybe it'd be a more British a version of the White House would be. But now that would probably be President Penance.
That's what we're going to need for the next one. Do you have any? It looks like other than the doesn't make it 4 years. Do you have any particular predictions?
Well, here's what I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's traditional when a president says goodbye. He does it on the White House lawn. He makes like one quick statement, and then turns around and walks into the helicopter, and then waves goodbye as the helicopter takes off. That's like been tradition,
sure,
since at least Nixon.
Yeah, it's like Nixon. Of course, obviously Nixon did it under slightly different circumstances.
Yeah, no, I know, but that.
Oh, right, that's
the
like
first
the
helicopter.
Farewell,
that's the first helicopter exit I can remember. Then Reagan did it.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, because he's just moving two blocks down Pennsylvania Avenue.
You think he'll just like be pulling a roller suitcase behind him? Like, I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
No, of course not. This is the president that had styrofoam pillars on either side of the stage when he was in Denver. Looking like a Spinal Tap show.
As opposed to a flag behind him the size of a football field?
Regardless. He's very theatrical. And I cannot imagine him not taking off in a helicopter. I will put my money that, yes, he does do the helicopter exit, which will be really funny because basically he'll be flown on the on Marine One all the way out to Fredericks Air Force Base. In Virginia, at which point he'll have to get a cab back into D.C.
So you don't think he should do the helicopter thing, even though it's tradition?
I don't know.
Well, there's nothing to say he's like going straight to his office or whatever. Maybe he's going to fly back somewhere to Chicago, you know.
Doubtful. He's been here in Chicago. He's been overnight. He's been here like two nights since in the past 8 years.
Really?
And I might add that his house is under 24-hour surveillance, that the entire street is closed down. You can't it must really suck to be an Obama neighbor.
Oh, yeah. My aunt used to live next door to the Assads in Syria. I don't know if I ever told you that. And she said it was such a pain getting.
No, that I would have remembered anyone telling me that.
Yes, my
that is
aunt,
quite possible one of the weirdest things anyone has ever told me.
Yeah, my aunt was the next door neighbor to the Assads in Syria. I'm always going to mix them up. Bashar al-Assad is the current one, right?
I don't know.
I think so. The current Assad, right? Was a young fellow. He was a teenage boy nearabouts at that time, and his dad was running the country. And my aunt was married to, like, I think he was like the top medical official in Syria or something. He was a very high-ranking medical guy. And yeah, they lived literally next door. And so when they would invite people over, they would have to call Secret Service, and it was like this whole big ordeal to have anybody visit them at the house.
Right, right.
So and they would always basically just meet you at your house because it was like an ordeal to come to their house.
But not only do you have, not only, you know, when you go out to see if there's any new tomatoes in the backyard garden, not only do you have a sniper overhead watching your every move, you can't park on the street. If anyone comes to visit you, yeah, it's the same thing. They have to go through a checkpoint. For a guy that's been there 2 days, I might add. Plus, you can't sell the house.
No one's going to buy it. That's a great point. Who's going to buy a house?
Who's he? Yeah. I mean, there's no way it's somebody made a joke once about the people that complain about the lights in Wrigley Field. It's like, what did the real estate agent, how did he show you that apartment and not show you the lights?
Yeah.
And it's a safe kind of thing. There's no way you can say, well, I didn't know that the president was next door. So you can sell the house, but you're going to have to, but you're going to take a hit.
Big time. You know what? So. I bet you the person that buys the house would have to go through a vetting process.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And, we could talk about that further. However, we're now at
the moment.
And we're back on the rule of three. We were talking about the circus. We were talking about the circus that is the inauguration. We are talking about the. I just ruined a perfectly good intro there, but we were also talking about a circus act. And now we're going to talk about the actual circus. If you're a circus fan, I'm sure the news has not escaped you, is that Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus is closing the tent, pulling down the tent.
It's funny. My wife and I talked quite a bit about this the other day. Real mixed feelings about this. Because anytime something that's 148 years old stops going, you know, you go, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. That's a big piece of the past lost. But then you go, well, as my wife said, well, yeah, but their profit margin was abusing the elephants. Like, if somebody could do a really pleasant, non-abusive circus and make a profit, they would have. But they couldn't. So they beat the crap out of the elephants. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Well, I actually have friends that work for Barnum and Bailey, and they don't anymore, so that they have no skin in the game, and they said, no, the elephants were not abused, they were like treated like big pets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that elephants are really meant to be captive in that way anyway, but regardless,
I disagree there as well, because they're Asian elephants, and Asian elephants are domesticated.
Oh.
They're essentially beasts of burden. They're used in the timber industry. So,
sure. But the circus also seems, I mean, it's like, it's interesting because you're like, you go like, oh, that's a bummer. Kids aren't going to get to see the circus anymore. And then you go, but do kids want to see the circus anymore?
Well, actually, there's a circus that comes to town here. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm always fascinated by the circus, just the idea of the circus. Is there something really mystical about it? Something about, you know, these people that that travel by night from town to town, and you know, and how the person goes, the front man goes and puts up all the bills and all the marketing, and then this village that appears in the middle of a empty field, and then it's there, then it's, you know, it's a festival for a couple days, and then it just all disappears. I mean, there's something really cool about that.
It's like a flower that blooms under rare conditions briefly or something.
Exactly. And Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey, the one that comes to town here, it's all on trucks. So it's so there's something far more gypsy about it. Whereas the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey actually did it by train.
Oh, really?
And there's something really cool about a circus train. The idea of an entire train that this entire village full of acrobats and trapeze artists and all the way down to the stable people that just all they do is they're in showbiz still. If you know the joke.
Yeah. Right. No, it's its own little society, and it travels around, and it's itinerant, and there's a little bit of luridness to it. I mean, they do travel through the night, and, you know, they do attract, you know, the classic the party worker and the circus worker as the, you know, the guy who pounds the spikes in the tent, you know, might not be the most honorable of employee.
Somebody told me about a dog show, and I was not aware. Is that dog shows also have heritage that goes back centuries, when you see a dog show, the odds are the dog show that you're watching, it is a dog show that that was created hundreds of years ago. And basically you buy, when you want to be put on a dog show, you buy a dog show from somebody who owns it. And it's essentially
starting up a new dog show. Let's not be willy nilly over here.
Well, I know. Well, this is the fascinating part about it. It's essentially a pack of dogs that that have been doing the same routines for centuries.
Huh.
And what you do is you get new dogs, and the other dogs teach the new dogs what to do.
Oh, it's like stand-up comedy.
I don't know. Nobody's been coming to me for advice.
Yeah,
I give it, they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've been there. When the guy's like, "Hey, what should I do?" I'm like, "Well, just don't run your light." And he goes, "Yeah, but my bit's gonna be really good. It's a little long." I'm like, "Well, then why did you ask me what I should do?" And I did give you the only really good advice you'll ever get, which is don't run your light. But I've been to the Ringling Brothers Circus. I remember my parents taking me when I was, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe 8 at the most. I remember it was really cool. I really liked it. 3 rings, you know?
Yeah.
It was at the Show Me Center in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Wow.
Famous as the hometown of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I knew that.
That's like the only person who's ever famous who's ever come out of Cape Girardeau. It's also where my friend Joey got shot while he was selling some crack, but that's not as famous.
Wow.
It's just a thing that I know about my friend Joey.
Wow. The circus that came to town here was, I'll give it a plug, it's a Kelly Miller Circus. It comes by frequently. They have elephants. They actually let you ride the elephants, too.
Oh.
They actually, before the show, you can get there early. And it's actually traditional that they still have a tent. And if you get there, in the afternoon, you can see they use the elephants to put up the tent.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it really is. And also a lot of immigrants, which the park where they set it up here in town is on the side of like a retention pond that to a goose looks like a lake. And it was really funny. We were walking to go see them put up the circus, and there was a big pile of goose down behind one of the trailers.
Oh my.
So, and for me, that was the most amusing thing I saw at the circus that day.
In a certain way, doesn't it seem like if any circus was going to keep going, that Ringling Brothers would? Do you think it was that they were so big that it was like unwieldy to manage on that scale?
No. Basically, what happened was, They had to get rid of the elephants.
Oh, it was that.
I'm sure of it. There's no question in my mind. Making Ringling Brothers go on without the elephants is like making Gallagher go on without watermelons.
I guess that's true. I was thinking part of the appeal of the circus is the multifaceted, you know, the clowns and the getting shot out of the cannon and the trapeze.
Yeah, but that's all. That's all a lead into the elephants. I mean, you know, and as far as the Kelly Miller Circus, yes, when the elephants came out, that was the big moment. That was, you know, it didn't matter that there were two guys running on the wheel of death. It didn't matter that there was a young girl doing her hula hoop routine. I mean, those were all fine. But when the elephants came out, you know, the crowd just went nuts.
Huh.
It takes the grand finale out of the circus if you remove the elephants.
Interesting. Now the a little interesting thing I know about the circus is a friend of mine, a stand-up comedian, got into comedy because his uncle was a clown and worked for Ringling Brothers. And according to my buddy's uncle, like 80% of circus clowns are heroin addicts. I laughed and I was like, "What's the punchline?" And he goes, "No, that's just the story. Is that like 80% of clowns are heroin addicts?" He's like, "It's not a setup. It's just a fact."
I wonder if your buddy's uncle is the same Ringling Brothers clown I know.
A tale for off of the air, perhaps. I don't want to out anybody. You know, he, his uncle was not a heroin addict, so apparently he's like the narc. He's like the 21 Jump Street Ringling Brothers clown.
Well, my buddy actually, he on Facebook, he actually told a story about that as a clown, that one part of the performance, he would actually ride, the clowns would ride the elephants into the circus.
Oh.
And that somebody was trying to feed the elephant, so he gave the elephant the order to back up, and the animal trainer caught him doing that, and he was almost fired. He said that I felt it was better to violate the policy than to let some harm come to the elephant. And he goes, I would rather be fired than let some harm come to the elephant. And the trainer said, that's the only answer you could have given me that would not have had you fired.
No, well,
and
that's
That's how diligently those elephants were protected.
Okay. And probably free heroin. Based on my limited knowledge.
And we'd talk about the free heroin longer. However, we're out of time. It's timsligo.com. iTunes are all the episodes are there.
Yep, and at Real Brian Miller, BrianMillerComedy.com. The episodes are up there too.
And we'll see you again under the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.